From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells. Our next guest is David Gruber, who's the presidential professor of biology at the Baruch College City University of New York. He's also an explorer for National Geographic. David is passionate about utilizing modern technology to view the underwater world from marine creatures' perspectives. He deploys robotic devices that are kinder and more gentle so they can study animals in their environment. I recently spoke with David at the Future in Review conference. David, welcome.
Hey, thank you, John.
You are an explorer for National Geographic.
That's correct, yeah.
And you're also a professor at City of New York?
City University of New York, Baruch College.
Okay. Yeah. I heard a podcast recently, it was fascinating, on how you can now capture a jellyfish and delicately study and re-release. Tell me about that.
This is a part of our philosophy. Well, let me think. To just step back a little bit, this relates to a 5-year collaboration I've had with Professor Rob Wood of the Harvard Microrobotics Lab.
Sure.
Where we are working on the interface of delicate marine exploration and designing new robotics and techniques that will enable humans to investigate organisms in the deep sea, in their own environment, without hurting them, and doing it in a way where we learn much more information than we've learned in the past.
Very gentle.
Very gentle. You know, I mean, if we're looking at the physiology of an animal, we want to see what's going on. We want to really, it's almost like going in for a medical checkup. And if you're coming in for a medical checkup, and I'm going to use a hard claw, and I'm going to first grab you and pull a piece of your skin off, and then I'm going to change the pressure of you and bring you to the surface, and expose you to light that you've never seen before, and then I'm going to study you. Where would I get a better, more natural view of what's happening?
And it's very invasive. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very invasive, but it's also not giving us the right information.
Right.
So not only is it better for the animal, but it's better for us humans to learn more.
Okay. So tell us about the device and its sensitivity.
So the device, it's almost devices, and it's been a very fun evolution. So it started out with something called squishy robot fingers. And this was just the premise, does soft robotics work in the deep sea? And this was like the very first test was taking some of the Harvard Microrobotics soft robots and just bringing them to the bottom of the ocean and seeing what happened to them. Then we did squishy robot fingers, which were soft fingers to delicately touch. Then we made a soft robotic wrist. Then we made a soft robotic arm. Then we made a teleoperable glove so we could sit inside a submarine, move a glove around, and the soft robot outside was moving, essentially putting human arms on a submarine. Then we invented a device called the rotary actuated dodecahedron, which is a flat sheet inspired by origami. It's like a flat sheet. When there's one rotary actuating, it turns into a ball.
All right.
And a ball, it could encase an animal and then open it back up and let it go. Now we did ultra-gentle, soft robotic, we call them linguini fingers, and now we're working to combine all these things together. So imagine...
How much pressure does a linguini finger put on the jellyfish?
We're calling this one of the most gentle robots ever invented. It puts 1/10 of the pressure that the eyelid resting on the eyeball, to give you an idea of how gentle it is.
Right. And somebody told me that jellyfish, they live a long time.
They do. I'm working on a study that looks at the longevity of animals. Just thinking of, you know, we think so much from a human perspective and our lifespan, but jellyfish actually get the record of the longest living animal because they're potentially immortal, where they age in reverse and they go back to youth. And this has been shown to happen numerous times. We're not even sure how far back it goes.
I could use some of that.
That's what everybody's thinking, you know? I mean, there's so much to learn. Here we think this 500 million year old animal that's just drifting around. And meanwhile, it could have the secrets to immortality.
Yes. What does the Fire in Review, Future in Review conference mean to you? How's your experience been here? You were here last year.
I was here last year.
With Roger Payne.
With Roger Payne, who I'm currently still working with. Right. And this is such a beautiful conference. I love the cross-pollination. In my opinion, the future is transdisciplinary. It's not sitting in silos in academic institutions where the biologist just talk to the biologist,
right.
The chemist just talk to the chemist. The future, in my opinion, is really intersections now and bringing all these silos together and making bridges between them. And that's what the Future in Review encompasses. It's ideas of coming together and thinking of how we can create a future that we actually want. And I love that thought because technology doesn't control us. We invent it, and we have the power to create the future vision that we want.
Perfect. Well, I couldn't have said it better. Collaboration of disparate groups and everybody sharing information.
Yeah, thank you so much, and really appreciate being here.
Thank you. Enjoyed it. Thanks.
And that was David Gruber. John interviewed him at the Future in Review conference that was held back in October
in La Jolla. Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio. If you missed part of the show or you want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab.
We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows wherever you find your podcasts, so you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name.
So look for KPCW Cool Science Radio and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.